You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Do you remember when IT was easy? Yeah, neither do I. But it doesn't have to be a nightmare. AppRiver is ready to help take some of the IT headaches off your plate. Spam and virus filtering? Got it. Protecting against web-based malware? Check. Email encryption? They can do that too. AppRiver can also hook you up with Office 365 or hosted Exchange and get rid of your email headaches for good. AppRiver can help make IT easy, or at least easier for you. Just go to appriver.com/kickass. Again, that's appriver.com/kickass. Hi, I'm Ben Mathis. Welcome to Kick-Ass News. My guest today is one of the funniest women in stand-up. Comedian Nikki Glaser has appeared on The Tonight Show, Conan, Last Comic Standing, At Midnight, and Inside Amy Schumer. She was the host of Not Safe with Nikki Glaser on Comedy Central, the co-host of the MTV late-night talk show Nikki and Sarah Live, and the popular podcast You Had to Be There. She recently moved back to New York from L.A., and as you'll hear today, it's been a bit of an adjustment for her, but it's worth it because she's headlining Comedy Central's first morning radio show on Sirius XM Radio Channel 95, called You Up with Nikki Glaser. Today, Nikki joins me on the podcast to talk about the worst week of her life, her thoughts on the Time's Up movement, and why she's steering clear of political humor for a while. She reveals why she likes strong warm-up acts, long-distance relationships, and men who lie. Well, just a little bit. Plus, how Nikki saved my relationship, and why she's banned from Urban Outfitters. Coming up with comedian Nikki Glaser in just a moment. I'm talking with Nikki Glaser, who has a new radio show called You Up with Nikki Glaser, weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon on Sirius XM Channel 95, Comedy Central Radio, starting February 26th. Nikki, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I got to be honest, I feel like I owe you one. I have to give you partial credit for something. I guess about a year and a half ago, when I first met my now fiance, I sort of fudged my age a little bit when we first met. And after the first date, I decided I really like this girl and I should probably come clean sooner than later. So on our second date, I fessed up over dinner to having subtracted a few years from my age. And needless to say, the vibe was not very good. But after that, we went to see you perform at, I think it was like a charity event at a movie theater in Pasadena.
Oh, wow.
And you
I know
totally
exactly
killed
what
that night.
Event that was.
Do you
that
remember
was your
that?
First date?
Our second date.
Or your second date, okay.
But it was not going well.
Oh, my God. That but, was like the night that I like screamed at people about Trump, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
It was right before the election.
That would have been right before the election, yeah.
Yeah.
But you totally killed. You lightened the mood. You helped me reset. And, you know, I was able to get on to a third date and so on. It's now been a year and a half. And we're now engaged as of, I guess, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. So thank you for that.
Oh, my
you,
gosh.
You are a catfish's best friend.
That's so exciting. Yeah. And I hope I did my bit about how men who lie make the best husbands. I don't have a bit like that, but... That would have been really perfect. Why did you lie about your age? What did, like, did you meet on an app that you just
because said? She's like 13, 14 years younger than me.
Okay, that makes sense. So did you, were you on an app that you, your age was lower?
I was.
Or did you just like actually tell her your age was what it was?
No, I was on an app.
Okay.
So there was thought that went into this.
That's so funny. So, but she got over it. Clearly she's not holding on to that.
Pretty quickly. I mean, between you and I sent some flowers the next day, yeah, I was able to recover and make it onto a third date.
Did you send a dozen roses, but really it was 15?
I don't even know, but I know there were a lot.
Okay, good, good, good. That's so funny. Yeah, I never thought about how I would feel if a guy lied about his age.
Really?
I guess it would show some vulnerability to me if he fessed up to it fairly soon, and I would be like, oh, it's cute that you, like, were trying to win me over, even if you lied. And, like, age is just a number that we sharply judge each other on, so.
Well, yeah, but the flip side is some people would say, okay, if he lies about that, what else is he going to lie about then?
Yeah, yeah, once a age liar, always an age liar. So you'll lie about your age again sometime, but, yeah, I don't think I think it's kind of a sweet lie, so yeah. I'll excuse it. I think you guys will make it.
What is the biggest lie that you think you can forgive?
Oof.
From a man.
I feel like, I mean, if they've faked an orgasm or something, I could understand that. Like I and I know that it's hard for men to do that, but it does happen, I'm sure. And I could take a lie like that. Or I could take a lie that was to protect me.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think that your age lie is almost to protect her because you knew that she wouldn't maybe go out with a guy that was 3 years older.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she told me that. Now she thanks me.
So whatever lie gets you in the door, exactly. I think. And is, you know what I can forgive? I can forgive a lie that a guy fesses up to and doesn't get caught lying. You know, like he just like owns up to it and says, listen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I shouldn't have done this. So, you know what? I can pretty much forgive anyone if there is a good enough apology attached to it.
I wonder then, do you think a guy would get more points if he purposely lied deliberately just so he could come clean eventually? Do you think he'd get more points than if he was just honest from the get-go?
I mean, yeah, I think just being honest from the get-go is probably the best way to go about things, but you're not wrong in what you're saying. So if someone out there is looking to date me, you can get away with lying. I will allow it. But you have to have a really good apology.
I'm sure there are plenty of them. And I know that you've been back on the dating scene recently. In fact, I think you are single as of what? Maybe a year, year and a half ago? How's that experience
been? Well, I've been single a lot in the past 5 years, but I've also been in a relationship a lot. We go back and forth. So right now, currently, I am single as of like September. And then we're kind of getting back together. The same person I've been dating for 5 years. We're getting back together. We're in negotiations to get back together. It might not happen because I moved away from LA where we used to live together.
Oh, long distance.
I broke up with him. He took a job in Abu Dhabi. And then I kind of took that as like, well, if you're moving, I'm moving. So I moved to New York and now he's back from Abu Dhabi and I'm like, let's get back together. And he's like, well, you don't live here anymore. And I'm like, you're the one that left first. So it's kind of like that.
Oh, I mean, technically, you probably moved a little closer to him. So that's progress.
Yeah, exactly. I was just trying to creep across the world slowly. And so he was only there temporarily. And I just, even when someone goes somewhere temporarily, you kind of take it as a slight. Like, is that you needed to go all the way? And so I left LA too, and now he feels abandoned. And now we're just kind of trying to figure out what's next. I really love breaking up and getting back together. I kind of proposed to him that we could do this the rest of my life. Like, that would be our marriage plan, is just to, like, have built-in rumspringas where we get a couple months or half a year where we're single. And then we learn that everyone else sucks, and then we come back together and we are so happy. Instead of just staying together forever, which sounds kind of scary to both of us, I think it's a good plan to just like, to, you know, like kids do for school. You have summer breaks. You need a break.
Yeah.
And then you go to the next level in your relationship.
Yeah,
you always come back stronger.
There's something to be said for having a steam release valve, I guess.
Yes.
You talk in your act about your experience on Match.com, speaking of catfish. What was that like for you?
Well, that was years and years ago.
I figured.
Where you have to build a profile and write things about yourself. Now these apps where you just, it's just a picture is much easier for me because the problem is when people write anything about themselves, it just doesn't come out good. So I've been giving advice to men on stage now based on my experience with these apps, which is like, just don't write anything. Because if a girl isn't going to have sex with you based on your pictures, there's nothing that you're going to write about, like, you know, you're not going to share some quote you live by and then suddenly she's going to be like, oh, wow, now I want to have sex with them. Like, there's nothing you can write if a girl isn't attracted to you that is going to win her over. There's just really nothing. And so many times guys cockblock themselves by saying stupid stuff. Like, there's so often guys will write, like, my hobbies are whiskey and tacos. And it's like, those aren't hobbies. Those are nouns. Hobbies are verbs. And we get it. You're white and you don't have an identity. So you have to like find one within stating that you enjoy foods that everyone enjoys. Like, it's just not, doesn't make you unique or interesting. But so many guys really pat themselves on the back for enjoying whiskey and tacos. And so I get really, I always tell guys, just don't write anything. And writing nothing is a real serial killer move too. Uh-huh. But I've been out with more guys who it's just their face and how many miles they are from me than a guy who says he's a certified burrito hunter. You know, like guys always write the dumbest things. And I'm just like, I would never, the thing is like sometimes you'll be swiping and you'll come across guys that you've slept with before and you go, if I would have seen this first, I would have never slept with you. Because guys don't know how to represent themselves well on these apps. It's just, it's harder.
Yeah, the thing that bugs me is whenever people say hiking, whenever that's like one of their hobbies, like nobody really likes hiking, but it's such a dumb LA thing
to
say.
Travel, hiking.
It's paint by numbers.
It just seems exhausting to have to date some of these people. And really, no one does any of these things.
Yeah.
And we should all be honest and be like, we just like watching TV.
Exactly.
At home with someone we trust.
By the way, I just want to say that I saw your new movie, Poop Talk, or not your movie, but the Sklar Brothers' new movie.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah, it's really funny. You're really funny in it. I just had them on the podcast. And apparently, just like Randy and Jason, you grew up in St. Louis. Did you know them back then? Do you guys have a history?
No, I didn't know them at all. They're kind of they're a bit older than I am. But, you know, if you grew up in St. Louis, you know all the same kind of references. And they didn't really come up in the St. Louis comedy scene from what I know. But we have that connection. And I love that they're from there because they're so funny. And I think they were long gone by the time I got there.
Yeah, and what kind of references are St. Louis references? Because the closest I've been
Crappy
is Branson,
pizza.
So I have no St. Louis reference at all.
Well, we have, in St. Louis, there's a pizza called Emo's Pizza that is everyone hates that isn't from St. Louis. And even if you are from St. Louis, you kind of hate it, but you just kind of put up with it. And it's like on a cracker crust, and it's cut into squares. So they cut it just like, not like, it's called the Square Beyond Compare. And the cheese is a St. Louis type cheese called Provel, and it's a mixture of, it's Provel and mozzarella. So it's, I forget what it's called.
It's provolone and mozzarella?
It's provolone and mozzarella.
I've never heard of
Provel or something. I don't know. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's gooey and it sticks to the roof of your mouth and it's just gross and everyone hates it. And it's kind of, we're known for just having this like really disgusting pizza that no one likes. And then we also have the Arch and racism.
What is the Arch? What is the story, by the way? Like, I never understood the purpose of it.
We're the gateway to the Midwest, so it's kind of like a gate through which you pass, even though you can't fly under it or anything, like drive under it. People think it's like a sequoia tree that you drive through or something.
Yeah.
There's no way to pass beneath it except on foot. And it's just a really cool piece of architecture. I mean, it really is beautiful and impressive, and I'm really proud to be from a city that has such a cool landmark, but it's pretty worthless in terms of like function.
Are your folks still there?
They are. They're at the Arch currently. no, they are still in St. Louis. My sister's in St. Louis. She has a baby. She's a teacher at my old high school. She teaches Spanish. So my whole family's still there. And yeah, I love St. Louis. I would gladly live there if my industry was there. It kind of sucks being in the industry because you have to live in New York or LA pretty much.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is there much of a comedy scene in St. Louis?
Yeah, there is actually. It's a great place to start. That's where I started. And yeah, I took comedy classes at the Funny Bone there. And I made a lot of great friends who a lot of them are still there and still working comics that work the road out of there. Mm-hmm. I moved to L.A. right out of college in 2006. And then I ran out of money and had to move back home to St. Louis. And so I was living there from 2009 I lived there about a year and a half, and it was a great place to work the road from because I could just drive to so many gigs because it's so centralized. And yeah, there's comedy to be done every night. But yeah, I'm looking forward to global warming, like when it really hits, because then St. Louis will be like on the coast. It'll be the new York someday.
Do you still like touring?
Yeah, there's something about it that I like the isolation. I like being alone. I take a dog with me. I also take that's my opener, Tom, who I'm talking about. No, I have two dogs. I always take one dog with me to like keep me company, and then I bring an opener with me on the road, Tom Takar, who is going to be my sidekick on my talk show. So. He and I have been traveling on the road together for like 5 years, and he is really funny. And, you know, usually you go to these clubs and they just throw whatever local talent they have. And sometimes you get really great comics, and then sometimes you get a lot of shit in front of you. Yeah. And it makes for a bad show. And then the audience has to sit through half a show that just stinks. And then you get up and you do whatever, but it's so much easier to go up if they're already having a good time. A lot of comedians don't like to follow people who are hilarious because they find it intimidating, but I find it sets me up to have a better show because the audience is already laughing and it makes me want to try hard. So I picked the funniest person I know to open for me so that I have to step my game up. And and now he's my co-host type person. Co-host is it's too elevated of a thing to call Tom. I like sidekick. I'm going to keep him as the little parrot on my shoulder.
Yeah, and I got to give you credit then, because you're right. A lot of comics don't want to follow someone funny. You know, I find myself often when I go to see a big comic who's playing in theater, I have to sit through like this miserable half hour of some very mediocre comic. And I remember the time I told you about when I saw you more recently, I remember there was another woman right before you who was hilarious. She did some kind of bizarre over-the-top act with a keyboard, and it was
hilarious.
That's
Lizzie Cooperman. That's my best friend, actually. She's one of my best friends. She'll love that you remembered her. Yeah, she's
totally
incredible.
Yeah, my now fiance and I looked at it. We were just like, what was that? And it took about a minute for us to kind of get into it and get what she was going for there. But once we were on board, we were on board 100%.
And that's the way everyone is with Lizzie Cooperman. It is such a shock to your system, and then you go, oh my God, what did I just witness? Yeah. Like she was just on Crashing recently, the HBO show.
Oh, yeah.
She's incredible. And we're developing a scripted show together actually right now. And so you'll be seeing a lot more from her. But yeah, a lot of comedians are just, they're terrified. We have such egos that we just want to be the best. And what people don't understand, and I learned just from working at the Comedy Cellar, is like, you want to follow Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. People go, oh my God, I can't follow Dave Chappelle. I can't follow Chris Rock. It's like, no, the audience is so excited and no one's going to hold you to that level. No, if you make them laugh at all, they're already in the best mood and you can just kind of ride that energy. So I always want to go up after the funniest person that I can find and that's why I love living in New York, because in LA, everyone's kind of coasting by. It's easy to get really lazy with your stand up there because everyone's just kind of like on stage, kind of just talking and figuring it out. And here everyone's coming with their best shit and they're just like rapid fire. And I always find that when I'm in New York for an extended amount of time, my stand up gets that much better because you have to keep up. You know, when you're following these elite masters of comedy, you kind of step up your game as well.
Yeah. And what's been the hardest part about adjusting to life in the city after living in LA for so long?
Ugh. God, what isn't hard? I live in a 4-floor walk up. That has been brutal.
I'm sure.
Because I have 2 dogs that need to go out constantly, and I have dog walkers that come, but like, you know, every time I go home, I dread going home, which is a really nice thing to look forward to when you live in New York, is to go home. And I dread it because I have to trudge up 4 flights, and then I have to go back down and take them out and then go back up again. And it's always raining out, and I have little raincoats for them. Honestly, the problem is the dogs. They are huge burdens, and I'm glad they only live 11 years. It's going to be such a relief. I'll miss them dearly, but then I'm not going to get new dogs right away. It's a lot of work. I mean, I've lived here before and it was great and I had so much fun, but I forgot how hard it is. It's like every time you leave your house, you're just like, what am I going to need for the next 8 to 10 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And do I have it on my person? Whereas in LA, you can keep everything in your car. It's like a separate apartment you're driving around in. It's always like a block away. Here, it's like you just have to have a Sherpa with you to just trudge around the city. And there's nowhere, like, my friend has a great bit, Ryan Hamilton, he has a great bit about how in New York people just openly weep in the street and on the subway because it's too hard to go home and cry alone. So you're just like, well, I guess I'm just going to let it out right now.
Yeah.
There's no privacy here.
Yeah, everything seems like a hassle there to me. And that's why my brother lives there, but I've never had a desire to actually live in New York. You know, just to go to the pharmacy is an ordeal.
I think your instincts are right. I think that people, it is a sense of pride to live here because it is difficult, but it's like doing a marathon. It's like, okay, it's cool that you did it, but also, you know, you lost all your toenails and that seems not fun. And like your body is ravaged from it. Like everyone here just looks tired.
Yeah.
That's another reason I moved here. I just was tired of everyone being so beautiful. So I moved somewhere where people are a little bit uglier just to make myself feel better. But turns out everyone here is like hot too. So it's just a bummer.
And this is Comedy Central's first morning radio show, I think, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
I guess rather than doing a 7 a.m. show from L.A., you decided to move to New York so you can do a 10 a.m. show. Or are you not a morning person?
That is exactly what I did. I realized, because I was going to do the show in LA and I was, you know, getting ready to start it and figure out my life like that and where I was going to do it from. And then I visited New York because my friend was in a play here in December and I was just here for a weekend and I had a great time. And I was like, man, I wish I could move back here. And then I was kind of like, wait a second. Not only could I move back there, but I could be on the same floor as my favorite show ever, Stern, and I could wake up 3 hours later. And so I really moved to New York to sleep in. And that's there's no better reason to move anywhere.
Yeah. Have you run into Howard Stern yet?
Not yet. I saw him once walking his dog years and years ago when I lived here, and that was the only time I crossed paths. But I often do the morning or their wrap-up show. And so I get close, and I've met everyone associated with the show, which is thrilling in and of itself. But Howard himself I have not met yet. I think this me getting a radio show here is just my long game is to just be a guest on his show at some point.
And what kind of stuff are you going to talk about on your show? Is it pretty similar to your act or what?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I just know what I do best is just share too much information about myself and talk about my personal life. And I think that people are into that. People like people who are just being honest and have no filter. And I feel like I have a gift of not having any shame. I wish I had more at sometimes because feelings get hurt and sometimes I share things that I'm like, why did I even do that? But I think that's going to be most of the show is just me talking about my personal life and my opinions about things. But me and my co-host Tom, we both love pop culture a lot. So we'll talk about what's going on in music and TV. And, but also, you know, my favorite subject is sex and dating. So there's going to be a lot of that. A lot.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with Nikki Glaser when we come back in just a minute. Today's episode is sponsored by LinkedIn. A business is only as strong as its people, and every hire matters. So don't settle for posting and hoping the right person will find your role and apply. Instead, choose LinkedIn. You know, I've gone through the hiring process and I know what it's like. It's frustrating. You can waste a lot of time and you end up picking from a very small pool of candidates who might meet your needs, or worse, a huge pool of unqualified candidates. But LinkedIn is more than the world's largest professional network. It's also a better way to find great talent. Think about it. How often do you check job boards? For most people, it's a pretty occasional thing. But there is a place where people go daily to grow professionally, LinkedIn. 70% of the U.S. workforce is already on LinkedIn, and 22 million professionals view and apply to jobs on LinkedIn every week in every industry. Just ask the hundreds of thousands of businesses who've posted to LinkedIn jobs over the past year. They rate LinkedIn jobs 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates. Because LinkedIn considers skills, experiences, location, and more to match and promote your job to potential candidates. If you're not using LinkedIn for your hiring needs, you're missing out. Go to linkedin.com/kickass and get a $50 credit toward your first job post. That's linkedin.com/kickass for your $50 credit today. Terms and conditions apply. For over 30 years, men have trusted Just for Men to provide easy gray care solutions. Now they can trust Just for Men to provide a hair regrowth solution as well. Formulated with the number one dermatologist recommended ingredient proven to regrow hair, 5% minoxidil, hair regrowth from Just for Men is an easy to use topical solution that's clinically proven to help regrow hair. It works by reactivating hair follicles to stimulate regrowth, perfect for men with thinning hair. Plus, with a unique precision spray applicator, this is hair regrowth made easy. Simply spray on, sit back, and move on. Because when you look as good as you feel on the inside, every date night, every meeting, every guy's night out becomes something to look forward to. Start winning over thinning. Look for 1 or 3 month supplies of hair regrowth in the shave aisle, or visit jfmgrowhair.com and use the promo code REGROWTH25 to get 25% off your purchase. That's JFM Grow Hair, and use promo code REGROWTH25 for 25% off. We're also sponsored by Google Cloud Platform. What can your data tell you? With Google Cloud Platform, use machine learning at scale to build better products. Google Cloud's AI provides modern machine learning services with pre-trained models and a service to generate your own tailored models. Their platform is now available as a cloud service to bring unmatched scale and speed to your business applications. It predicts so your business can thrive. Click now to learn more about Google Cloud Platform or go to g.co/getcloudai. Again, that's g.co/getcloudai. And now, back to the podcast. And you've done podcasts before, and you had a weekly show on Comedy Central, but radio, that's such a different animal to have to go into a studio 4 days a week and fill a whole 2 hours with material. Does that feel like a lot of pressure?
Well, not until you said it like that.
Sorry.
No, it feels to me like heaven, because so much of what I have done in my life is just... You have a set this night. You don't have one the next night. Then you have a set in another place. It's all over the place and it's unpredictable. And I'm in a new town every week. And this is just my first. That's what I loved about having TV shows, is that I got to show up for work in the same place every day. And there's something nice about that as a comedian who's never had that. So I'm looking forward to doing something every day and doing a show 8 hours a week. I'm going to get good really quickly. You know, you get those 10,000 hours in.
Yeah.
Radio is something that I've always wanted to do, and I think it's like a great, I think it's a great medium to settle into as a aging woman, because you know I don't have to be in hair and makeup constantly. I don't have to worry about my looks,
right.
I've always dreamed of being on radio, and I've had a lot of practice, you know, promoting shows on the road and then doing podcasts, but. It seems to be all happening at the right time for me.
Yeah, it's an interesting new twist to your career. I mean, last year was a bit of a roller coaster for you, because apparently within the same week, your show Not Safe got canceled by Comedy Central. You ended a long-term relationship and Donald Trump got elected.
Yes.
Which of those was worse for you?
I mean, the Trump was the worst thing for sure, but And I went on Chelsea Handler's show that I was booked to do her Netflix talk show the day after the election. And we all thought it was going to be this like huge fun celebration. And I got there and it was like the most depressing atmosphere ever. Everyone's crying. And I, as a joke, wore a funeral outfit. Like I wore like a veil over my, I wore a hat with one of those like netted veils.
Did you just have that in your closet or how did you come up with that?
What?
Did you just have that in your closet?
You know what? I just had the idea. And then I have friends who are stylists and I was like, is there any way you can track down a hat like this? And they found one and I wore it. And the funny thing is Chelsea didn't even acknowledge it. So I just looked like an idiot that dressed like in a hat. And she was supposed to be like, well, Nikki, what are you wearing? You know, and I just sat there and looked like that's how I dress for talk shows. And I recently talked to my friend Bobby Kelly, comedian, and I was telling him that story. And he goes, I remember seeing that and being like, why is she wearing that? Is she a hat person now? So people just thought I was just an idiot who dressed like in a weird netted hat, like I was a part of the royal family, but I was really doing a joke, but Chelsea didn't acknowledge it. So I just sat there.
The election turned you into a hipster.
So that was probably the worst part of my week was taking a fashion chance and being completely embarrassed. And then Trump, and then my breakup, and then my show being canceled. Yeah. Because the thing about my show being canceled was I kind of knew it was canceled before they announced it, and then they announced it. And so that was, it was weird to like have everyone find out when I had known for a while and have all these texts come in like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, I'm already moving on. I'm already sleeping with a new show.
When I talk to comics over the past years, so many of them seem to be getting way more political with their humor than they ever were before November 2016. I don't see you doing that, though. You seem to still be fairly true to your own style. Have you felt a lot of pressure to get more political?
No, I think if anything, there's a pressure to not be political now because people just want to break from it. And you just hear so much of like, oh, thank you for not talking about him. For me, I choose not to because I don't want to. People go, oh, you know, you alienate your crowd. Like I post things on Twitter all the time and Instagram because I don't really care. If you don't like what I'm saying politically, then don't follow me. But when you're at a live show and people have bought tickets, I feel a little bit bad. You know what? I don't feel bad because I'm angry at people who voted for him and who continues to support him. But here's the thing. I don't want to know who did. I don't want to hate part of my audience. And I do hate people that voted for him and still support him. Maybe not if you voted for him because you just made a mistake and you've owned up to it. But if you're still on board with him, I kind of hate you. And I don't want to hate my audience. And every time I'm doing a show and there's someone else on the bill who says like, who here voted for Trump? And a part of the room claps. I'm always just hoping that the ceiling falls in on them. And I don't like to feel that way about my audience. I just want everyone to kind of be, when I'm on stage, I don't like look at people individually. I kind of blur my eyes because it's not that I don't want to see people having fun or see people not having fun, but I don't want to see people not having fun. That's what I don't want to see. And I also feel like a lot of comedians, if they see someone not having fun or like, oh, that person's like arms are crossed, they'll focus in on them. And then I feel like the person always laughs because they feel like they have to. And I never want anyone to feel like they have to laugh at me. So I just try to keep it. I really just don't talk about politics because I don't want to know who voted for him. And I don't want to I just don't want to hate portions of the audience. I could have just stopped at that. That's what I meant. That's why I don't talk about him. But it's hard not to, though. Sometimes it creeps in.
How about with the radio show? I mean, the nature of the medium itself and the immediacy of it tends to lend itself to topics, you know, like politics and the day's events. Is it almost sort of unavoidable, do you think?
I think I'll probably shy away from getting too deep into it, but people will know where I stand because I can't hide my disgust. That's another thing about the show. It's just going to be like, I'm not really going to hide how I feel often. And I'm probably going to get myself into trouble in my own personal life and probably with stuff I say that'll be controversial because sometimes I just say stuff I don't mean because I mean it in the moment. And then I think back and I go, oh, that's not even how I feel, you know? But I think that's what's going to be exciting about my show is that I'm pretty unfiltered, and I say stupid stuff sometimes. But I'll admit when I'm wrong. I will always apologize if I lie about my age.
Okay.
To call
Fair
it back
enough.
To that.
Well, as a female comic, are you being asked to weigh in on the Me Too Time's Up movement a lot right now?
Yeah, I think that's always been, as a female comic, I've always been asked to weigh in on women in comedy or women funny, and this is an exciting time for women, and especially now, and I have a lot to say about that. So I think that more than anything, my act on stage has addressed that whole issue, because it's so funny, because now it's, everyone's aware of it, but women have been aware of it forever, and it's just like the way life is for us. So it's just, it's nice to kind of finally have the floodgates open and have everyone be able to kind of understand, and everyone's on the same page now. So you can kind of go there without audible gasps because everyone's already so desensitized to the horrors that men have been inflicting on us subtly and then not so subtly forever. So I kind of like now that the stage is set for me to just jump right into it. I mean, I open my set now with like, a story about, you know, my own personal Me Too story that I've kind of turned into a joke, but is also kind of my way of coming out about what's happened to me. So it's nice. I found the movement has been really beneficial as a female stand up, in terms of just me being able to feel freer to say what I want and be unapologetic about it.
Yeah, I've been wondering when that was going to start to become fair game for comedy. Have you had a lot of people who've said that it's too soon?
No, I've been watching a lot of other women recently, and I feel like we're all talking about it. I think we all think we're the only ones that are brave enough to go into it, but everyone's making light of it or making whatever they want out of it, because that's how we process our anger and our fear and our sadness is through comedy. So it's natural that all these stories, especially about comedians, would bring out so much in us. Like I saw Christina Pazitsky and Whitney Cummings last week, and they both name checked male comics that have, you know, also been outed by you know, such prestigious outlets as Babe.net. but you know,
like
what I'm saying,
Louis?
Like it was just interesting to me that female comics are up there talking about our colleagues because they're in the news.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird. Usually comics don't talk about other comics on stage.
Yeah.
But now we're allowed to, and we're allowed to be angry about it. Because as a female comic, I think especially women everywhere are just, you know, when a guy hits on them or sexually harasses them, we're supposed to kind of brush it off like, oh, he's just joking, or like, that's just the way men are. But as a female comic, especially, we are so paranoid about being accepted and feeling like we're cool and we're in on the joke. And we have a sense of humor too, because, you know, so many people are like, women aren't funny. So we're constantly on the defense. Like, yeah, that's fine. I thought it was funny. It's totally funny. Yeah. And so guys will say disgusting things. And then if we have kind of a repulsion to what they say, they can easily make us feel less than by being like, you don't get the joke.
Yeah.
And of course you don't, because you're a female comic and you're not a male comic. You can't hang with the men. And so I think that there's an anger in a lot of female comics. It's like, yeah, bud, I do get the joke. It's just there is no joke. Mm-hmm. You're making an excuse that your little you hit on me. It didn't go well. So now you're joking about it. I mean, I had some comic say something disgusting to me via text recently.
Really?
And he goes, and I go, whoa, that was intense. And he goes, well, that's the way you talk on stage, and got really defensive. And I found myself going, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. And I was like, why are you apologizing? It's just, it's so ingrained in us to just want to be one of the guys. And I'm fucking sick of it. I mean, not so sick of it, because last week I just apologized. But even talking about it now, I'm just like, I'm just tired of trying to just make men feel comfortable when they say awful things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, given
time's up. But like I just said, I did it last week, so not real. It's not really up, but it's getting close. Time's a ticking should be the new thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, given your act,
that's my new statement. Time's a ticking.
Well, given your act, I mean, that you're not exactly G-rated. Do you find that sometimes people misinterpret that, or you get comics or guys who come up to you and take liberties because they assume based on your act that it's okay?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't fault them for that. We all misread the room sometimes, or misread what is okay to say to certain people. And I am up on stage saying disgusting things about my own sex life. And then so when a guy says something really aggressive to me about something he wants to do to me, he might think like, oh, this is, I'm talking on her level. But I always say, like, I'm a freak on the stage, but a lady in the sheets. Yeah. Like, you can't talk... You got to buy me a drink first, at least, you know, like you can't just jump right in. So as much as they have a right to make a mistake and misread the situation and apologize, I have a right to be like, not cool, dude. Mm-hmm. And we can both be friends after it. But, you know, we're all kind of trying to figure out this new terrain, and it's going to take a while before we do. And guys are going to feel like, I can't say anything. It's like, well, maybe you can. Just don't say anything for a while. See how that feels.
Well, that might be just a good idea in general for guys.
Yeah, Whitney Cummings, I saw last week, had a great bit about how guys are like, God, so now I can't even be like, that's a nice dress. And she's like, no, because half the time you say that, we're not even wearing a dress. Like, you don't even know what a dress is. Since when am I like excited to hear what a guy has to say about my dress? It was so funny. She's like, when a guy compliments your dress, it's just because it's see-through. Yeah. It's so true. I have a dress that has like holes in it. And whenever I wear it, every single guy is like, that's a really cool dress. And I go, oh, is it really cool? You think it's a cool design? Or can you just see my bra? It's just so funny. I really like I think this is, I hate the phrase, like, it's a good time for women, but it feels like it is.
And by the way, I just have to give you credit for a real baller move, because I heard that after your show got canceled on Comedy Central, Not Safe got canceled, it sounds like you sort of came back to them and bullied them into giving a radio show. Is that right?
I kind of did. I don't know if they're excited about me saying that, but it's just I kind of say it because I just think other women need to hear how sometimes, and other just people need to hear how, you know, I feel like so much of my career has been me feeling like, oh, yeah, can I please do that? Do you mind if I do this? Oh, thank you so much for giving me that. Oh, I don't deserve that. I've tricked you somehow into giving me this, and I'm not talented, and I'm, you know, it's just because I'm young, or it's just because you want me around because I'm a pretty girl or whatever it is. I always make excuses, and it's like, I'm at a point in my career where I've been doing this 13 years. I'm fucking talented. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard they were looking for a radio show, I called one of the guys that was in charge, and I said, yeah, I'll do it. And he laughed like, okay. They're thinking about a couple different people. And I was like, no, you want me, and you're going to, I think my quote was, they would be stupid to not want me for this. And they would be, because I'm going to kill it. Yeah. And I'm meant to be doing this. So sometimes you just have to have this, like, you know, I just discovered confidence, and it took me until I was 33. And it's such a shame, because I've been great all along. And right now, thank God, I'm like, you know, I've been doing comedy long enough that if I wasn't good, something would be terribly wrong. Like, you do something long enough, you're just going to be good at it. And I've always had a natural knack for it, but I've also now had the experience. So I'm I can't even think of the word. It's, I'm undeniably good now, because I've just put in the work, you know, like, I've just practiced enough. And so, you're welcome.
I mean, it's funny to me to hear you say that you just discovered confidence, because so much of your act is based on pushing audiences' buttons and making them uncomfortable. I mean, where does that come from?
You know, I think that's like, you just act as if, and then you hope you will be what you put out there. But like, the, you know, I think the person that I've been on stage all along is who I've wanted to be in my own personal life. And now those two have kind of blended into one. So I think that, you know, when you get on stage, you have a persona. And I think my persona was who I always kind of wanted to be. And now those two are the same person.
Seems to be working for you. Before we go, I'll just end then by asking, what was the most uncomfortable situation that you've ever been in?
Ooh. God.
This interview?
That's such a good question. Hold on. I really want to have a good answer to it because there's been so many. Honestly, the thing that fills me with fear every time I think about it, before or since, and the one thing I regret more than anything, but I don't really regret because I would still be doing it if I never got caught, but I got caught shoplifting when I was 19,
really?
Which is way too old to be shoplifting.
Yeah.
But it was just because I had never been caught. And if as soon as you get caught, you go, well, I'm never going to do that again. Yeah. You need to hit like a bottom with it. And so I was shoplifting at Urban Outfitters when I was in college, when I was 19, and the sensor went off. And the woman came over and was like, I'm sorry, can I look in your bag? I know you didn't. Like, she had that kind of apologetic way of going about it. Like, you know, when you walk out of a store and the buzzer goes off, they always go, keep going. It's nothing. Well, the color drained out of my face and I froze. So I looked guilty. And she goes, can I look in your bag? And I handed her my bag. And she goes, that's what I thought. She looked inside it and was like, that's what I thought. And then she took me to her office and screamed at me. Having to walk through the store with everyone knowing that I just stole was like the worst I've ever felt in my life. So don't shoplift, kids, because you will get caught eventually. It's like drunk driving. You can't get away with it forever.
But she didn't call the cops on you?
She didn't. She had a long day. She's like, I am so sick of this shit. Stop stealing. She was screaming at me and I was crying and I was like, I knew I needed to get caught. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. She was like, you know what? I'm not even going to call the cops. I'm going to send your ID to our headquarters. So she scanned my ID, sent it to their headquarters. And she was like, you might get a bill in the mail, but it's your lucky day. I'm not calling the cops. Stop doing this. She scared me to death. She let me go. I didn't tell anyone about it. And then I went home to visit my parents. My parents lived in St. Louis. I was going to school in Kansas. I went home to visit them in St. Louis like months later. And one day I was just like, I'm going to go get the mail. Like, there was something that compelled me. I would have never gotten the mail at my parents' house. And I went out to the mail and there was a letter from Urban Outfitters that said, which my mom would have opened because it had my name on it and I didn't live at home. But it was like, you got caught shoplifting. It explained the whole thing. And it was like, please send us $50 to expunge this from your record, whatever record they have.
Your Urban Outfitters and, record.
And so I intercepted the letter, didn't get caught by my parents. And I got banned from that Urban Outfitters for 3 years. And it was the only one in my college campus. It was like the coolest place to shop. We had like a JCPenney and an Urban Outfitters. And Urban Outfitters in 2004 was the place to shop. It still is, kind of, especially for college kids. So I would wear a disguise when I went in to go buy things, which I did. I've never shoplifted since. I can honestly say that.
Yeah, $50 to expunge your record at Urban Outfitters. That kind of sounds like blackmail, actually.
It really is. And they handled it internally. And because they had threatened to go to the cops, I was like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And it was really funny, too, because when you shoplift and you get addicted to it, you're not even stealing things you want. Like, literally, I would steal cat food and I don't even have a cat. Like, you just do it because I was clearly going through other issues and it was just a quick, like, you just get a pump of serotonin that as soon as you get away with something and it becomes a certified addiction, you know? And I remember her looking at all the things and pulling out of my bag, like all the stuff I had stolen. And it was like stuff that wasn't even, it was really ugly. Really? And I just remember her picking out one shirt and she was really stylish and cool. She was like a little bit older than me and like just who I would want to be kind of style wise. And I remember one shirt she pulled out and she goes, really, this? And I was just like, I know, it's ugly. Like, I felt so judged. So, I'm glad I don't do that anymore, because if I would have gotten away with it, I'd still be shoplifting. It's that addictive. So you just, like any addiction that I've overcome, I needed to hit a bottom, and my bottom was getting caught my sophomore year.
Yeah, they should sponsor the radio show.
They really should. I'd make it up to them. I'd give them a couple free reads just to make up for merchandise I stole.
Well, You Up with Nikki Glaser airs weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon, beginning February 26 on SiriusXM Channel 95, Comedy Central Radio. Nikki, thanks. It was fun.
Thanks. So fun. Thank you.
Thanks again to Nikki Glaser for coming on the podcast. Her radio show, You Up with Nikki Glaser, airs Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern and 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific on SiriusXM's Comedy Central Radio, Channel 95. To see Nikki perform live, check out her upcoming tour dates at nikkiglaser.com and follow her on Twitter at Nikki Glaser. Today's episode was sponsored by Hair Regrowth from Just for Men. Hair Regrowth from Just for Men is an easy-to-use topical solution that's clinically proven to help regrow hair. Formulated with the number one dermatologist-recommended ingredient proven to regrow hair, 5% minoxidil, it works by reactivating hair follicles to stimulate regrowth, perfect for men with thinning hair. Plus, with a unique precision spray applicator, this is hair regrowth made easy. Simply spray in, sit back, move on. Start winning over thinning. Look for 1 or 3 month supplies of hair regrowth in the shave aisle or visit jfmgrowhair.com and use the promo code REGROWTH25 to get 25% off your purchase. That's jfmgrowhair and use promo code REGROWTH25 for 25% off. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass News on iTunes and leave us a review. You can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at Kick-Ass News Pod. And as always, I welcome your comments, questions, and ideas at comments@kickassnews.com. I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.